Good morning, everybody. We have some good things to remember, don't we? I'd like to thank Tom for inviting me to teach this morning and for being a part of this camp. I'm so thankful to be here with all of you and to learn the things that we're learning. Before we open up the scriptures this morning, I know we just prayed, but I'm going to pray just one more time. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for the amazing truth that you have been teaching us. May our eyes be open to see you bigger and bigger and to acknowledge you in everything that you have done. Thank you, Father, for as we look at your words, that you can help enlighten our eyes, that you can help peel off calluses, that you can help us to see you with new eyes and to see ourselves with the eyes that you have. Thank you for the work of our powerful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it's in his name that I pray, amen. All right, open up your Bibles to Isaiah 6. Bethany, it was like you read my notes this morning. We're going to read the section of Scripture where Isaiah has this vision of God. And we're going to start there. What I'm going to be teaching on this morning is the topic of I am holy. As you're turning there, I'll wait just a minute. I'm going to talk and then we're going to read it. But the topic of I am holy. Holy, if you read holy, it's the same word as saint. Okay? You could as easily say, I am a saint. I'm going to use the term holy a lot. But we're going to read words like sanctified, made holy, holy saint. And it's probably one of the topics in God's word that has the most religious baggage associated with it. The term holy, when you hear that, if you hear about it in the world with religious sects, it's talking about, when people talk about it, it's talking about a holiness in yourself, a holiness that you produce to be good enough to God. That is not what God's word declares holy means. Tom already actually shared this. The word holy, it means to be set apart. If I have a bag of M&Ms, I have a bunch of M&Ms in my bag, and I have different colors, right? Does anybody here pick out a particular color? Yeah, Bryant. All right, what color do you pick out to eat first? Red, okay. You are sanctifying your red M&Ms to eat first. That word sanctify, that word holy, it just means to set apart. In God's word, it can be set apart for some pretty disastrous things, or like we're going to be looking at for us, some pretty amazing things. But the first thing that we want to see is that God is holy. In Isaiah 6, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, and I'm going to be reading out of the King James for the most part. I will be flipping to the NIV at certain parts. But it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. When something, this is what I've read about this, when something is said in triplicate in the Hebrew, it means it's infinite. God is infinitely holy. Holy, holy, holy. And those are those angelic beings that surround God at his throne that are saying this about him. Holy, holy, holy. God is set apart from all others. Who is like God? Nothing, no one. There's no other God in heaven and earth like God, the true God, the creator, the one who made all things, the one who planned and who purposed, the one who has wisdom beyond what is fathomable. He is separate from all gods. He is holy, holy, holy. And you know, think about that. Who are we in Adam? Not holy. There you go. Not holy is a good way to put it. Not holy. As, you know, was shared with us earlier this week, we were spiritually dead. We were broken, slaves to sin. In Romans 1:29, it said we were filled with all unrighteousness. There was nothing holy about us. But God, who is rich in mercy, right, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. This holy, holy, holy God, who can do whatever he wants, has chosen to make us holy in Christ Jesus. And we're going to be looking at that. Okay, so go ahead and turn to your Bibles now. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has chosen us," he has chosen us. Bryant chooses those red M&Ms. He separates them unto himself. God has chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. It says that we should be holy. In the King James, it says we should be holy. That's actually a pretty poor translation of that. I think some of that religious baggage got into this, the way that this was translated. The NIV is better. It says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." It isn't should be. It is you are holy before God. And that was something that God chose for us in Christ so that we could be his children, so that we could be with this holy, holy, holy God. And it's all in Christ, that unification that we have with him. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So who chose to make you holy? God, did you choose to make yourself holy? Could you make yourself holy? No. First Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to read in verse 9. It says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" You know, and that was us, right? "Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." That's pretty clear, right? God does not dwell with the unholy. And it says in verse 11, "And such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." This is such an amazing section. I love this section because it makes several things very clear. Number one, again, we did not sanctify ourselves. This was a work that God did, because we did these things that are listed. These people don't inherit the kingdom of God. We've done these things. Such were some of you. And maybe you haven't done the things that are exactly on this list. Have you thought about it? Like Jesus Christ said, well, you just did it. You just did it. But it says, "And such were some of you." You know, the things that we've done in our past, the things that we, the cesspool of sin that we were in Adam, does not define you anymore. some of these Corinthians were still doing these things. They were actively pursuing these things. And he says, such were some of you. That's in the past. What you do now does not affect your holy standing before God. That's in the past. If you did it a minute ago, such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit, right? And it says here, you know, a little bit more of nuts and bolts, how you were made holy. Two things are listed, right? What was the first? We were sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we're going to look at these a little bit. Because you can read this and be like, okay, because God doesn't just say, like, here you are, I'm just going to call you holy. Does that work for God? To just say, I'm just going to call you holy, but you're still exactly who you once were? No, that does not work for God. God is holy, holy, holy. He does not allow and accept unholiness in his presence. So guess what he had to do to you and me? He had to make us holy. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. He had to make us holy. And he did that, it says, by the name of the Lord, through the name of the Lord. That's referring to, as we're going to read here, that's referring to all that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished. Let's look at this Lord first. In Hebrews chapter 7, go ahead and turn to verse 26. Hebrews 7:26, it says, for such an high priest became us. The NIV in that verse says, such a high priest truly meets our need. Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Who needs not daily, as those other high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, then for the people's, for he did this once when he offered up himself. Jesus Christ became exactly what we needed. He was one who was holy. He was separate from sinners. He was undefiled and harmless. And like Brian talked about before, in the Old Testament, the way that God set it up for people to be with God at all, there had to be a sacrifice. But what kind of sacrifice does it say it was? A daily sacrifice to take away, to pay for sin. And it just covered sin. But we're going to read about what this high priest did for us, this one who was holy did for us. Turn to chapter 10. We needed this kind of sacrifice. Now this I'm going to read a bit out of the NIV. We're going to start in verse 5. So Hebrews 10, verse 5. It says, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. So that's a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ and him saying to God, you weren't pleased with these sacrifices. Verse 7, then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. Do you know what this holy man did? He did what holy men do. He did the will of God. Verse 8. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although they were offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, speaking about Christ, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, the Lord's will, Christ's will, we have been made what? Holy, holy, through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You have been set apart from what we were once a part of, that cesspool of Adam, where all we could produce was unrighteousness. He set you apart in Christ, and that's one sacrifice that did that forever. You never have to make yourself holy before God again. And what did he do? We're going to read about this in a second, but he separated us unto himself. The Holy One, Christ Jesus, who was God's only begotten Son, who was holy, laid down his life to make us holy. And he did that, and that was a one-time sacrifice once for all. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've thought. I don't care what repetitive sin you have been in or I've been in. It says, you've been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. God is satisfied with that sacrifice because it wasn't a sacrifice of somebody like you and me. He was holy. He was separate from sinners. But he took upon sin, upon himself, like Joanne shared from 2 Corinthians 5. Let's keep going with this. We're going to pick this up again in verse 19. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus." You know, Brian talked about that with the high priest once a year. He could go into the most holy place, which was the place that represented the presence of God. And he couldn't hang out. Nope. He had to do what God wanted and then leave. Otherwise, you know, not head chopped off, but you die. You know, and look at this. Confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is how we have entered in. We are separated unto him, this one who is holy above all. We are in the presence of God all the time. You cannot leave. You have entered in through the body of Jesus Christ. God did it to bring you to him. And you can never leave that place. That's a good place to be. You can't make yourself unholy. Because what did it say earlier? He made us holy once for all. Right? The other thing that it talked about in 1 Corinthians that made us holy, what was it? What was the second one? So we talked about it. The Holy Spirit. What kind of spirit is it? It's holy. Do you have to make it holy? No. God gives holy things. You've been given Holy Spirit. Last night we had that wonderful teaching talking about how we are a new creation in Christ. And how we are spiritual beings now. The spirit that you have is a Holy Spirit. Again, separated away from what we once were, now we are brought unto God and never to leave his presence. Wherever you go, what do you have in you? Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is something that allows us to have his word in our hearts. It allows us to not have hearts of stone toward him anymore, like we read about in Ezekiel yesterday. It talks about having hearts of flesh toward God, where I no longer will be one where I have that heart of stone to get away. You know, that's no longer what we've got. So many things that we have in the spirit, but the one thing that I want to talk about that God puts on display on how he has brought us unto himself is talked about in Ephesians chapter 1. So you can go ahead and turn there next. Because we are made holy by the Spirit as well. And we're going to go to verse 13. Ephesians 1:13, it says, "In whom you also trusted," speaking about Christ, "after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What's a seal? A seal, this kind of seal, what that's speaking about is like, have you guys ever seen if you were to send a letter from a king from like 300 years ago? I think they did this 300 years ago still. But what they do, the king would write the letter and then it would be folded up, closed up, and then they would put wax on it and then they would put the stamp on it. Or actually the king would use his ring, his signet ring. And that would show people that this was a letter from the king. And it would close up that letter. Now, was the point of that, that seal, that waxy seal on that letter was so strong that it could hold that letter together? No. The point of the seal was the authority behind the seal. The point of the seal is the authority of the one who put the seal there. What did it say that we have? We are sealed, right? Let me go back to my Bible here. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God has put his stamp on you, on me, to show that you are his. And that can't be removed. Remember, this is done forever, like we read about in Hebrews. It's something that shows you that you are God's, and you're sealed with it. Let's keep going to what it says in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. It's the earnest. It's the down payment, like we read about in another section. We have this seal of Holy Spirit. It's the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Redemption, that's speaking about, we have received redemption in Christ Jesus right now, but we have the fullness of our redemption coming in the future when Christ comes back. And God knows who are his, because you are sealed with his Holy Spirit. And it talks about him coming back and getting that redeemed, purchased possession. What did he purchase us with? The blood of Jesus Christ. You are his possession now. You are his. He paid a great high price for us. And you know, for us, I feel like especially Americans, maybe this is like this in other countries, you guys from other countries can let us know, but we like to think about ourselves as these independent people. We like to think about ourselves as allowing God into our lives, as Christians even. I'm going to allow God into my life in this area. I'm going to allow God into my life in this area. We have it backwards. We are purchased. We belong to God. It is not for me just to allow God into this pocket and into this pocket of my life. He purchased you, the totality of you. And he did it with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he has you. He sealed you. There's no part of my life that is off limits to this God because he bought you. We are a purchased people. We are not our own. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to go to verse 19. It says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit that's within you? That's within me. You know, yesterday, we talked about the members of our body now, how they can be something that can glorify God, or they can be something that, you know, I go back to producing that death fruit from the parts of my body, my mouth, my ears, my legs. What we can produce now is holiness. Romans 6 talks about that. I have another plug for Romans 6 that I'm not going to read. But it says here, you know, you're not your own. You're not your own. We need to get that through our heads. Well, I'm just this independent person. No, you're not. Honestly, you weren't before either. You were a slave to sin. But now, you're God's purchased possession, and you can never leave him. He has you forever. And with your body, you can honor God with your body. Because you know now, that seal of God's possession over me and over you as being one who's holy, that never goes away, but I can sure live my life like I'm not his. We read through this the other day. We're going to read it again. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. You know, we are free now to serve God, which is what we were not capable of before. And we are separated unto this God who is infinitely holy, infinitely separate. There's no other God like him. And he has made you 100% holy. If you weren't, you couldn't be with him. In 5:3 of Ephesians, it says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becomes saints, or as is fitting of saints. Saints, again, is another word for being holy. It's not fitting. It doesn't fit us anymore. You know, these things of that, the all unrighteousness that we once were, that cesspool of sin of Adam. You know, God is so amazing. Does he demand us to live holy lives? He doesn't. He will never demand that of you. He is satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for all of us. But do we really want to live how we used to live in something that doesn't fit me anymore? It doesn't go with me. It doesn't look good on me anymore. But because of what God has made me in Christ, that Holy Spirit that's in me, that cleansing blood of Christ that brought me into the holiest. I stand in the presence of God all the time. You stand in the presence of God all the time. Are these things fitting for God? No. No. They're not fit for us anymore. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who's an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. Be not their partakers with them. Why? Because you're going to get kicked out of the kingdom of heaven and of God and of Christ? No. No. Because you were sometimes darkness. Sometimes, that's the King James, that you were at one time darkness. All the time. As dark as darkness gets spiritually. But now you are light in the Lord. And you are as light as it gets spiritually in Christ. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit. That word Spirit in the text, it's light. The fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. What we're capable of now is what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Holiness. He's a holy man. And what did he do? He did the will of God. That's what we're capable of now as holy men and women. That's what's fitting for us. And you know what, though? It starts with our thoughts. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. We read this one earlier, too. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to go to verse 17. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord." The NIV says, "This I tell you and insist on it in the Lord." So this is something, this is a strong exhortation here. "That you henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." All the yucky stuff that we used to be involved in and that is not fitting for the kingdom of heaven. It says, don't think like this. Don't think about yourself as separate from God. Don't think about yourself as one who is unholy, as one who is past feeling from being a hardened heart toward God. No, is that who we are as his people? Ones who have hearts of rocks? No, he's given us heart of flesh by the Spirit that's within us, where we can live a life with him and for him where it's good, because we are his holy people, right? Don't think that way. It says in verse 20, "But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation," or that former way of life, "the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Oh, how amazing this is. God has made us really holy, guys. Like, not just in word, but in every way, so that I don't have to, I'm not made to even think the way that I used to. I put that off, just like I took off my sweater because I was getting warm and I didn't want to sweat up here. You take it off. You just put it off. And you put on that new man, which is created to be like God in righteousness and true holiness. I don't renew myself. I put off the old and I put on the new, and I will be renewed. I will be transformed as I do this. God has not given us a guilt trip. He has not given us a life that is hard and a burden. He's given us a new life, one that is holy and acceptable to him. One where he took me out of that sin of Adam and he brought me to himself, and I am never to depart from him ever again. No matter what I do, no matter what I think, no matter how hard my heart might get if I choose that way. But oh, saints, that's not fitting for us anymore. Who am I? I am holy. By my works? Oh, certainly not. I am certainly holy by the blood of Jesus Christ, by his sacrifice, and by this Holy Spirit that dwells in me, that allows me to live in a way that is holy unto my God. Read 1 Thessalonians 4. Be encouraged by it, because it's something that God says we can grow in. I can grow in this. You're allowed, and you have space, and you have grace to grow up in who you are now. Isn't that wonderful? You know, so I'm going to wrap this up. We want to remember the one who made us holy, that he's the one who is holy, holy, holy. He has brought us to himself. You are sealed with that Holy Spirit. His authority is upon you, and you are something new and different than what you once were. We get to live holy lives because that's what he's made us. And we don't do it to try and prove anything to God or to anybody else, but it's because of who I am now. Who are you? Who are you? Holy. You are holy. Let's close out in 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, we're going to read verse 9 together. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Oh, praise God. He has made us something special for himself. Let's not take that for granted, right? Thank God for the mercy that he has shown us. And we're going to keep learning about more. Okay? So we're going to take a little break.
Thank you, Katie.